Well, good evening, everybody. Hello, you guys all made it in on this dreary night. It's good to see you guys. I'm Mike. I'm one of the elders here. You probably know me. I greet at the doors, usher in the back here. I have the privilege to share God's word with you tonight. I'm blessed. I feel like God has given me a word, so we'll go ahead and we'll read the text in its entirety, we'll pray, and then we'll dive right in. So we're going to be in Zechariah chapter 4 tonight. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, you're going to want to have one. Pat, some of the guys in the back have them, so if you want one, you can raise your hand. They'll bring it to you, or you could read it on your phone. I promise I won't think you're texting. So we're going to get started right here in Zechariah chapter 4, and we're just going to read all the way down to the end. It's only 14 verses, okay? And the angel of the Lord that talked with me came again, and he woke me, as a man that is woken out of a sleep. Zechariah was woke. And he said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick or a lampstand, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side. So I answered, and I spoke to the angel that talked with me. How cool, he's talking to an angel. I said, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said to me, Knowest thou not what these be? Which in English is basically like, you don't know? And he said, Zechariah says, No, my Lord, I don't. So then the angel says, he answers and speaks unto him, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. He completely neglects Zechariah's question of what are those? And he just goes right in. He said, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, and so many of us know these verses, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, or a level field. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord, verse 8, came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. And verse 10, this is such a great verse. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. And those seven is what he's saying here. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Then answered I and said unto him, Again, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered and said unto him, What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And the angel finally answers and tells him and says, Knowest thou not what these be? Teasing him, I think. He's got to be teasing him. And I said, No, my Lord, I don't. He says to me, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you tonight, God, and we just thank you for that sweet, intimate time of worship. Jesus, we love you, and you are the one that our hearts adore. And tonight, no doubt, we just want to meet with you. We want to hear your voice, your still small voice, speak to us. Because if you don't and we just come here out of routine, it's for nothing. We need your spirit to awaken us, Lord, and reveal to us your heart. Jesus, we want to just fall more in love with you. We want to take your word and we want to apply it to our lives. We want to fall more in love with you, Jesus. So I pray, Lord, that your spirit would fall afresh, that you would anoint my lips, that you would anoint your word, God, and you would speak forth only those things that are right from your heart for your people here tonight. We love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I don't know if you guys are like me when you're reading, and sometimes when you have like a guest speaker come up and they teach like a topical, as it's called, it's just like one topic. It's kind of, sometimes it's cool. It's like you get like something, like a quick little kind of phrase or whatever to take home with you and just kind of go. But for me, I like context. I like to know like the setting. I like to set the stage. I like to know like what's going on here so I can help to kind of have a better picture and clearer understanding of what's going on. So I kind of want to do that with you here just a little bit. So just a little bit of background on Zechariah. So if you've been with us on Wednesday nights, you know that Pastor Dave's been going through the book of Chronicles, which, if you recall, is to a post-exilic Israel, right? They were brought back into Israel after the captivity of Babylon. So in Chronicles, they're chronicling their history to kind of catch these people up, to remind them of who they are and what the promises of God were to them. Zechariah is taking place in that post-exilic time, so kind of fitting in that same time period of which we're reading about regularly. Two contemporaries of Zechariah are the small minor prophet Haggai, if you're familiar with that, that prophet, and also Ezra. And at the time of like Ezra, Nehemiah, that time frame. So that's kind of where we are as far as time period. Jesus hasn't come. We're about, I think if I remember correctly, about 520 years BC before Christ comes. And they've come back into Israel through Babylon captivity. And now they're here and they're ready to rebuild the temple. And what's happened here is that the children of Israel, they started building the temple. Okay, they started building the temple and then they stopped. And Haggai rebukes them. He says, you guys have gotten lazy. You guys have neglected the house of the Lord, and all you focused on is building your own house and building your own kingdom here. You need to get back to the work of the Lord. No doubt a loving rebuke, right? And so many times we need that in our lives. We need somebody to come up to us and say, hey, you're neglecting the work of God. Go do what God has called you to do. And hey, God loves you. I'm here with you. Let's go. Kind of a pat on the tush like a coach. Get back in there and go get it, right? And Zechariah is similar in that type, and he comes on the scene right as Haggai is doing his thing, and they're rebuking and lovingly encouraging Israel to get back to the work of God, okay? And with that, he is focused on not only drawing their attention to the prophecies of the future rebuilding of the temple here, but also looking forward a little bit to the futuristic coming of the Messiah, okay? So in verses 1 through 5, I don't want to spend too much time in there because it's not the meat of what we want to talk about tonight, what I feel like the Lord has given to me, but I kind of wanted to set that stage so we can kind of dive right in here. So in verses 1 through 5, you'll see that in verse 1 it says, the angel that talked with me came again. Okay, Zechariah has a series of 10 visions throughout this prophecy. And it seems like if you read the book, they all come to him at night, which is kind of scary. How many of you would be spooked if an angel came, woke you up in the middle of the night and said, hey, I got something for you, right? I mean, that's kind of spooky. And he just keeps doing it. I think he's teasing them. I think angels kind of tease men a little bit. It says that they're in wonder. They don't get it. So maybe he's teasing Zechariah a little bit like, hey, you know, right when he's in that REM sleep and just like, boom, he has that dream where he's falling and he just wakes up in a panic and there's the angel right in front of him and like, hey, I got a word for you. Who knows? That's what I kind of like to do. I like to get creative when I read the Bible, you know? So he shows him this vision, right? The lampstand in verse 2. And all of the gold with the bowl upon the top and the seven lamps thereon and the seven pipes and the two olive trees by it. Okay, there's only really two things I want us to pull from this that could kind of help to get us more into what I want to really share. And that's the symbolism of Israel, the parallels of the church. If you read Revelation, when Jesus gives John the revelation of the lampstands, the seven lampstands, Jesus walking in the midst of it. And then the supply of the oil. Right, the menorah, the lampstand right here, it's to be burning brightly, okay? And how does it get that? It gets its fuel to burn brightly from the oil. And so there's this picture of the menorah with the bowls, with the tree, the olive branches that are flowing into it, and it's an endless supply of oil. And we're all well-churched here. We're all well-taught. What does the oil represent? The Spirit, thank you. Man, you guys are going to have to, by the time Pastor Dave comes back, you guys are going to have your game on. So the oil is the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit is supplying the lampstand in this picture, okay? The oil is what is fueling that light, right? And the light, the menorah, the lampstand here in the Old Testament was to be a picture for the nations around that the Israel is a light to the nations around to attract them to God. And then parallel that in the New Testament, Jesus said to his disciples, you are the light of the world, right? We as the church, we are the light of the world. And then you could do your own study on that with Revelation. It's really cool. I'd encourage you to go check it out. On your own, but there's a lot of really cool symbols and parallels here with that, verses 1 through 5, okay? So then we get down into verses 6 through 7, the word to Zerubbabel, all right? He says to him, And I love it because it's kind of funny where the angel just basically neglects Zechariah's question of, hey, what are these? And he says, say this to Zerubbabel. It's like, that doesn't answer my question. So real side note, real quick, it's encouraging to me that a prophet who was woken up multiple times by an angel got these visions and the Lord speaking to him. And how many times do we say, Lord, what does this mean? And he doesn't answer right away. He just moves on to the next thing. He doesn't answer that directly to what it is that you're asking. He responds in a different way because he wants to shift your attention to something greater. And he says to him, verse 6, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And then verse 7, who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it, grace unto it. So as the children of Israel resumed the work of building the temple, right? We just talked about that. Haggai, Zechariah, come on. They start resuming the work. It's been 15 years, okay? This construction project started, and then they stopped, and it's been 15 years, okay? There's still a lot of work that needs to get done here to lay the foundation and get this temple erected. And they're looking at it and they're saying, man, this is how are we gonna do this? You know, we gotta rent a couple cranes, we gotta get some construction crews, we're gonna need more shovels, we're gonna do all this, and we gotta figure out how we're gonna clear this rubble, right? How are we gonna clear this mountain of work that's in front of us? And the Lord says to Zerubbabel, who's the governor of Judah at the time leading this construction project, he's like the foreman, he says, you're not going to do it by might, you're not going to do it by power, but it's going to be my spirit, right? That's where the ultimate power is in this completion, that this mountain of a task. And for us, it's like, how many times in our lives do we look at a task that's in front of us, right? And we look at something that maybe we've neglected for 15 years. Maybe it's a relationship, or maybe you're in a job situation, or maybe it's a ministry, or maybe it's something where it's like you've been chopping away here trying to do this work because you know God called you to do it, but you're discouraged. Maybe you're facing opposition. Maybe people that were with you at one time are no longer with you, and you're trying to like figure out ways here. How can I do this so that they still like me, or they still accept me, or they still invite me out, or I can keep my job, or I you know, whatever it would be. And the Lord's saying, stop thinking and trying to figure it out on your own, because this mountain that's in front of you is going to be impossible for you to solve in your own ingenuity, in your own efforts, in your own thinking. I want it to be my spirit. I want it to be my spirit that solves this for you. I want to show myself strong on your behalf. I want to be the one who does this work so that when you look at it, when you're done, right? When you look at this, when you're done, you only can come to the conclusion in verse 7, where it says, where art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone, or the finishing headstone of it, therewith shoutings, crying, grace, grace. It was only by grace that I was able to do this. It wasn't until I kind of took my hands off the wheel, so to speak, figuratively, of course, don't literally do that, and Jesus took over, right? It wasn't until you allowed him to take over what it was that you're plotting and planning and scheming to try to figure out this thing that God showed you what to do and you didn't know how to solve it. And God says, I don't want you to figure out how to solve it. I want it to be by my spirit. And just as contextually here with Zechariah and Israel, right, where they were rebuilding the temple, the pile, the rubbish, everything that was there, God wants to do the same for us, the same for the mountains that are in our lives, right? Jesus said to the disciples, right, if you look at that mountain and you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you'll say to that mountain, move, and it'll be moved. And here we have the Lord speaking through an angel to Zechariah, saying, that great mountain that's in front of you, whatever it may be, it's going to become a plain. It's going to be smooth. It's going to be made straight before you. The path that God has laid out for you, he wants it to be straight. He doesn't want you to walk through this life not knowing where you're going, wavering back and forth, and at every twist and turn, getting thrown off. He wants to make the way straight before you. Now, does that mean that there's going to be potholes and divots and, you know, debris flying at you while you're driving down the road? Yeah, absolutely, because Jesus said that in this life, you're going to face hardships. You're going to. That's just the result of a sin-fallen world. We look on the news, we look around, even in our own backyard, it's like these things are happening because we're in a sin-fallen world. Because of this, the sin of Adam and Eve in the garden, that's why you're having the it isn't until we get to heaven that the streets are going to be paved of gold and smooth and everything like that. Like, you're going to have that. But Jesus says, I want to make this mountain that's in front of you, whatever it would be, I want to make it smooth before you. And the Lord comes down through an angel to Zechariah and says, hey, listen, they've been trying to do this on their own. They've been trying to go forward and get this done, and they're not getting it done. So go tell them. Go tell Zerubbabel. Go tell Bubba. Zerubbabel. Bubba, we'll call him. Bubba, it's not by might. It's not by spirit. Or not by power. It's not by your own thinking, and it's not by the plans of man or catchy phrases or things that are on TV of like, hey, this is how you have success, and this is how you have the prosperous life. Nuh-uh. It's through that endless supply of the oil in the original vision. So you can kind of see why the angel neglected Zechariah's initial question. He's trying to bring him to a deeper understanding of what God's trying to reveal to him. And I think that God wants to do that with each of us here. I think that God wants to do that with each of us in our own individual walk with him. That he wants to maybe neglect the things that you're asking him right now so that he could say, hey, go, what about this? Because that, when you have that fuller understanding of that, it's going to give you the answer. And we can be encouraged that even at the end of this, when Zechariah gets told, you know, it's by my spirit, he still says at the end of the chapter, he goes, what are those? So it's like we can be encouraged, right? You know, how many times have you heard in the church, God called the A apostles or the B apostles or whatever the joke is. It's like these were just men, right? They had shortcomings. They had questions. They didn't get it, right? Even with an angel speaking to them, they didn't get it. And that's okay. The Lord says, rely on my spirit. Rely on that endless supply of oil that's coming through you. And allow yourself to be the light of the world. And we've moved into verse 9, verses 8 and 9. Moreover, the word of the Lord comes unto me. And now I have to almost like, because I'm looking at this and when I get to the end, I feel like maybe a lapse of time happened from like when he woke him up and he said that to him, and now it says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me. Might have been in the same vision, it might have been in a different one, or a lapse of time, but he says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation, his hands shall also finish it. And this is how you'll know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. It's kind of like, this is going to be your confirmation, right? And to them at this time, it's like, all right, we've already spent 15 years trying to build this, right? Now it seems like this is why I think a lapse of time happened, because it says, hey, this mountain that's in front of you, this clearing, this rubble that needs to take place, it says right here, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation, like he already did it, so maybe like a little bit of time happened. That's what I think. I don't know, it's just conjecture. But he says, his hands shall also finish it. Now, Zerubbabel was probably like laughing at that in his own mind, thinking like, I'm never going to get this done because it's been 15 years, and spoiler alert, it's going to take another 5 more years for the temple to be completely erected. He's probably thinking like, this is a 20-year construction project. There's no way I'm going to see the end of it. But the angel of the Lord comes to Zechariah and says, hey, he started this work. He's going to finish it. And I can't help but be reminded when I think of that, what Paul said in Philippians, right? He said, he who started the good work in you is going to be faithful to complete it until when? Until Saturday night, or until, you know, you've kicked that drug addiction, or until you fix that marriage? No, until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to finish it until you get home. It's going to be a work in progress all the way home, but he's going to finish it. He's faithful. He's going to do it. And this is why he's saying to him, this is how you're going to know that the Lord sent me, because Zerubbabel, who laid the foundation, is going to be the one to complete it. And that's how you're going to know Zerubbabel. And that's kind of encouraging because we can look at that in our own lives and think, man, like, you know, you look at like what we've been studying on Wednesday nights with Pastor Dave through Chronicles, where David wanted to build the temple, but he didn't get to do it. Right? And sometimes that's how it is. But he was faithful to what? Set it up for his son Solomon. But in this instance, Zerubbabel started it and he's going to finish it. And that's cool, I think, because the Lord's like, hey, I want you to know that I'm in this with you and it's going to be by my spirit that you're going to finish it and you're going to finish it. And I'm going to do it through you. He's faithful in that way, which I just think is so awesome. In verse 10, it says, for who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. And this is they are the seven that he's referring to, the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro throughout the whole earth, right? And we've heard that, we're familiar with that verse, we've seen it before, where it's like the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, right? You guys, not your head aside, no, you're like, yes, okay, thank you. So it says, who has despised the day of small things? So, for 15 years, they had to clear the rubble, right? And I know I keep repeating it, but I want you guys to really understand the whole context of what's going on here. So they 15 years, clear the rubble, lay the foundation. And now just to let you know, this temple that they were going to erect, remember, we're talking about Solomon's temple on Wednesday nights with Pastor Dave, right? You guys remember like the glory of Solomon's temple. There was this whole like plan. Like if you look up Google pictures of like Solomon's temple when you get home and like what they think it looked like. I found this National Geographic's book. It was so cool. It's like called Kings of the Bible. And like I picked it up. I was in Target with my wife and I was just like, man, like, oh, Kings of the Bible. I'll do this while she's shopping or doing whatever. Kill some time. So I'm walking through and I pull out like the metal piece. It just kind of folds. And it's like a centerfold of like what, like a painting of what they thought like Solomon's temple looked like. And it was just absolutely fascinating. It's like everything you would think it would be. It's like there's monkeys dancing around. There's peacocks. There's gold lions. There's just like people playing instruments. There's, you know, like, and it's the depiction of like when the Queen of Sheba comes. So it's like she's there and Solomon's just kind of standing, just like chilling at the top of like, there's this gold aisle that kind of builds up. And it's like this fascinating thing. I encourage you, go Google like what they think like Solomon's temple looked like. They have sweet renditions. It's pretty dope. But this temple that they were building was like a hut compared to it. It was like a teepee, like in all reality. And in fact, when they complete it, if you go read Ezra, I believe it's chapter 6 or something like that, when they finish it, it says there that, if my memory serves me correctly, it says that there is such this elation of people that are happy, but then there's also like this great mourning of the people that saw the original Solomon's temple, and they were like so like discouraged because it looked nothing like that. It was like, you know, this huge temple, like we just talked about, and now it's just like this little hut. And it says like the shouts and the mournings were so loud, it's like that you couldn't distinguish which one was which. It was just this great noise. And so like no doubt, as they're seeing this project come together, they're despising it. And they're like, why are we doing this? Like what's that? Like that's it? And like the Lord sees that. And so like I think about like for myself, because I've been there. I've been there where like I've despised the small things. I don't know if you can follow or relate to what I'm talking to, but I'll try to make it clear. Like I've been doing something for a long period of time, like they were, like a 20-year construction project, where like obviously not a 20-year construction project, but like where I've been doing something for so long that it's just like I'm starting to despise this. And it's like what's the point? And it's just taking a really long time, and I don't really want to do this anymore. And so it's like, I don't know, God. I mean, I don't know. Like maybe you're in a season of loneliness, right? Maybe you're alone, or maybe you're at a job, then you've been there for a long time, and you're just kind of like done with it. And like, what's the point of being here? It's like all this stuff, and it's like maybe God's trying to like teach you something through it, where it's like, hey, don't despise the small things. Like this foundation that you're laying is going to be for something so much greater. It's like you don't have to despise that, because it's like I don't know. It's like. Like I want to walk with you, God, right? Like I just think about my own life. I want to walk with you, God. I want to like inherit all of the things you said you want to give me, abundant life. But it's like, man, this walk is just, it's too hard, right? It's like for me, like there was a time where I was in a period of loneliness, right? And I was alone and I was single and I desired to want to be married. And praise the Lord, He answered my prayers, babe.
Shout out. But it's like, I'm going to church. I'm going to Friday night studies when I was in that age group. You know, I'm filling my time with every church function imaginable under the sun. I'm going to men's studies. Ladies, maybe you're going to women's studies. You're part of Grace. You're doing that. I come to prayer meetings when we used to have them on Monday nights here. It's like I've been walking with you, God, and it's like I'm not going out to the bars anymore. I'm not partying. I'm not doing all of those things, right? And it's just like I'm praying. I'm reading my Bible. I'm doing these things. You know my heart's desire. Your word says that he knows the desires of our hearts and all of these things. And it's like, all right, God, I think I'm done. Like, I think I'm ready to be done. Like, I think I'm ready to go out maybe again and just kind of like do these things. Or maybe I'm ready to fall away a little bit. Or, you know, maybe I'm just going to call Pastor Dave or the overseer of that ministry and just be like, hey, I'm just done serving for a little bit. I just got to step down. I need that sabbatical. You know, I just need to like take a break and just kind of like catch my breath, whatever. But it's like, I'm despising that. Like, I'm despising going to church multiple times a week. I'm despising praying. I'm despising, you know, reading my Bible, going to all of these different events for church. And it's like, God's saying, like, don't despise the day of small things, because what happens is you're laying the foundation of what something greater is going to happen. And for them at that time, they didn't realize what was coming. Like, Zechariah was trying to shift their attention not only on the here and now, but like all of his prophecies point to the coming Messiah and to the coming of his kingdom. And like this little temple that you guys are erecting, like you don't understand, like this is going to be like, in your estimation, like the kingdom of God that's coming is going to be so much greater, and it's going to be because of the work that you guys did here. It's going to lay the foundation for the coming of Jesus. It's going to be lay the foundation of his second coming. All of those things. Zechariah actually is one of the minor prophets that's quoted more in the New Testament than all of the other minor prophets. He spoke of so many things concerning Jesus. I encourage you just to go and just check it out on your own. It's really cool. But like, again, like maybe you're serving in a ministry. And it's like you've been serving in it for so long. It's like, man, this is all I do. All I do is come in on a Sunday and I go to the nursery and I just hold the babies and that's it. Or maybe I greet at the doors and you know, I'm just, or maybe I serve on the security team or in the cafe or whatever. And it's just like, this is all it is. It's like, I thought there was going to be more. I wanted more or whatever that it is. And it's like, no, it's like God's saying, like, don't despise that. It's like you're setting the foundation. Maybe you're a parent here. Maybe you're a stay-at-home mom and you're just like you're raising your kids. Or maybe you're a single dad here tonight. Or maybe you're married and your one spouse loves the Lord and the other one doesn't. Or maybe you're both married and you're trying to figure out how to raise your kids because you have no idea. Or maybe you have a prodigal son and you're just like, you've been praying, you've been fasting, you've been reading your Bible, you've been trying to instill in them those biblical values. You're trying to do all of these things and it's like, I'm ready to just give up. They're just going to do what they want because the pull of the world is so strong, right? They got their phones, their tablets at such young ages with all these things. It's like, man, they're just doomed. It's like, man, maybe we shouldn't even have kids or try to raise kids in this world because it's like so whatever. And like, you're doing all these things. You're holding the babies. You're praying with them at night. You're doing family Bible studies. You're talking with your wife about the things of the Lord or talking with your husband. You're inviting them to church. Or maybe there's a family member that you've been witnessing to for years. And it's like, they're not getting it. And it's like, I just want them to know the Lord. And it's like, you can't, like, you're just like, I'm done. Not even going to pray for them anymore. I go to the family party. I'm just going to stay away from them because they know that I'm what I'm about. And I'm not really trying to live it with them right now because I've been trying for so long and they're just not getting it. So like, I'm done. And it's just like, Lord's saying, like, don't despise those small things. Keep at it. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. Keep praying for your children. Keep praying for your spouse. Keep praying for that coworker that you've been sitting next to for 15 years and nothing's happened. Keep praying for your friends, your loved ones, your family members to come to church, to take that invitation up on Easter or Christmas or a regular Sunday or a Wednesday night Bible study. Just keep doing those small things because you have no idea what foundation is being laid for a greater purpose. You have no idea what's coming in those days. And just keep at it, right? Because Jesus said, what did Jesus say in the Gospels, right? When he gave the parable in Matthew 25, right? He said, stay faithful in the little things, because as you're faithful in those little things, he's going to entrust to you greater things, right? And that not only speaks of the here and now, it speaks futuristically of heaven, right? I don't know if you guys know this, but we're going to be rewarded for our faithfulness of what we're given here on this side of eternity when we get to heaven. And like, that's awesome. So it's like, God, what have you called me to be faithful with? No matter how small it may be in my estimation, what are you asking me, God, tonight? Right here at 7:56 on a Wednesday night at Calvary Chapel, Holy Spirit, show me, what are you calling me to be faithful with that maybe I've been despising? Like, we need to take inventory. Because I needed to take inventory when I did this, because like, this is me. Like, I've been here. I don't know how many of you guys can relate, but I've been here where it's like, I'm trying to walk with the Lord and I'm trying to do these things, and I've mastered the outward sins, right? I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't chew, and I don't hang with those that do, and all of that other stuff. And it's like, but now it's like, for what purpose? And it's like, maybe the Lord was trying to lay the foundation of all that to cultivate that holiness in you. Maybe the Lord is trying to cultivate a sense of patience and perseverance. Like, that's been the theme every Sunday for the last however long it's been now with Pastor Dave through the book of Hebrews, perseverance. And I feel like the Lord would say to Zerubbabel, the children of Israel at then, and to us, Calvary Chapel Westside here tonight, it's like, persevere. Don't despise those small things, whatever they are in your own estimation, that God has shown you and has called you to do it, just like he did them. Keep at it. Keep at it. Because I've been there. Because you see, they were building in a broken down temple, right? They're building like a physical temple in this time. That, like, the Old Testament, right? But what does Paul say in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians? You're the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16, but you, don't you know? Don't you know that you're the temple of God? And then he goes on to say that the Spirit of God, he lives in you, right? That vision that Zechariah got in the beginning. The Spirit of God that's supplying that endless supply of oil to keep the lamps burning, he lives in you. Don't you know that you're the temple of God? So just as they were re-erecting a broken down temple then, what's the difference for us? I was broken down. I was in rubbish, right? How many of you came from and you don't have to raise your hands, but just think about it. Like, how many of you came from a situation where it's like, you were broken? And if we're all being honest, at some point or another, no matter how extreme we may think it is in our own estimation, we were all broken, right? And we needed the grace. We needed the grace of God to wash over us and to rebuild us. And once we became born again, the Spirit of God comes in us, just like we learned on Sunday with Pastor Micah. And now he's supplying that endless oil to keep us shining bright in this dark and cold and sinful world. You, me, we're the temple of God. That's why we need to stay faithful in laying that foundation of whatever it is that he's calling us to do. Because again, Zechariah was given these visions not only for the here and now, but for the future, right? And so, like, that's what we kind of need to do. So, like, we need to look at this practically for us right now, but then we also need to think about it futuristically, because it's like, he's coming. Like, I don't know if you guys, like, know that or realize that with, like, what's going on, but Jesus said the birth pangs, they're going to intensify before he comes in. Man, it's like, you turn on the news, like, this coronavirus thing, in the last days, there's going to be an increase in pestilences, earthquakes in various places, all of these things. Like, Jesus is coming. And it's like, and Paul said, like Paul said in the last days, like, there's going to be a great falling away. People are not going to want to hear the truth of God anymore. They're going to want to only hear the things that tickle their ears and, like, kind of like, okay, just give me, like, a fresh saying so that I could go back out there and I can just, like, kind of, like, have a successful life or a prosperous life or a healthy life or whatever it is. They're not going to want to hear the truth of God. They're going to turn it in. And it's like, he's coming. Like he's coming. And that's why it's so important for us to just stay faithful. Just stay faithful. Shift your attention from not just your immediate work here and now, but the ultimate work of Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And I wrote this down because Pastor Dave says it all the time, and I love it. Our ultimate destination in life, right? Our ultimate destination, it isn't just a place. It isn't just heaven, but it's an image of Jesus Christ. God is trying to cultivate within you his son's image, the image of Jesus Christ. Because also in 1 Corinthians 3, it says, for no other foundation, right? We're talking about laying the foundation. Don't despise the small things. Keep laying the foundation. Because for no other foundation, 1 Corinthians 3, can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There's no other foundation that man can build upon other than Jesus Christ. You can't. We're going to be made into his image. So I want to kind of leave you with this last question here. Do you want to see God do wondrous things in your life? Do you want to see, like, in these last days, do you want to see God just move and wonder, not only in your life individually, but in our church corporately and collectively, and just, like, see God just do miracles and just bring people in and see them get saved? Because when that trumpet sounds, man, we're going home to be with the Lord. Forever we will be with him. And it's going to be glorious, and that's the goal. Like, that's the goal. Like, we want to bring people in here. We want to get them out. We want to share the truth of God's word. We want to share the truth of God's love, of Jesus Christ, of the crucifixion, of the washing and atonement of sins, his resurrection, the fact that you could live a powerful life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Like, that's what it's all about, right? The Bible says in Proverbs, he who wins souls is wise. Like, we got to win souls in these last days. Our time's running out. My time's running out. Like, we got to go. We got to keep moving here. We got to be faithful in the little things that he's given to you so we don't despise the small things that he's entrusted to us. We can't. You got to persevere. You got to keep going forward. You got to be like Jesus when he rode in. He had his face set like flint. He knew what he had to do. And what does the Bible say? That he endured it for the joy that was set before him, that was us. We got to shift our attention, just like Zechariah was trying to do in those days. We have to shift our attention tonight, not only on the here and now, and the practical building of our temple, right? Because again, we're the temples, but of his coming kingdom, so that we could go out into this world with the Holy Spirit flowing through us, being a light. Amen? So I'm going to invite the worship team up. We'll close in a last song here. And one last thing I just want to leave you guys with here tonight before, as they're kind of making their ways up and you guys are putting your stuff away. So I thought this was really cool in the context of what we're teaching tonight. So, like, Zechariah, like, his name, like, if you don't know what his name means, it means Yahweh remembers. Yahweh remembers. And when we think about the things that we're doing and we put it in context of what we just talked about and despising the small things and, like, God, do you even, like, know, like, what's going on? Like, do you even see this? Just think of Zechariah. Yahweh remembers. Don't despise the small things. And it's not by power. It's not by might. But it's by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen? Let's pray. Let's stand. We'll worship. Lord, we thank you again for this night. Pray that you would sink the truths of your word down into our hearts, Lord, and we would just fall more in love with you, God. Give us the strength and the grace, Lord. Give us the grace to just endure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.